الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى instructs his beloved messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم to say بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my messenger, O my Rasul, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the ummah bifadlillahi wa birahmatihi fabidhalika falyafrahu. They should rejoice upon the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we recognize the fadl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereafter rejoice upon the fadl and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why rejoice? Because the fadl and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great ni'mat. It is a great bounty. It is a great favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. This bounty, the fadl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more better than what they accumulate. Gold, silver, wealth, shares, pounds, dollars, whatever people throughout the world accumulate, the whole wealth put together, The fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more better. So if the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more better, then everything that the people of this world are accumulating, then it is something to be happy about. It is something to rejoice. If a person becomes a millionaire overnight, he will rejoice. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about millions or billions or trillions. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that everything put together on one side, gold, silver, diamonds, pearls, the wealth of the whole world put together on one side, and the fadl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side. The fadl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more better than the wealth of the whole world. See, if a person becomes a millionaire overnight, if he rejoices, then why should that person not rejoice who is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his fadl and his rahmah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the ummah that they should rejoice upon this ni'mah. They should rejoice upon this favor. They should rejoice upon this bounty. Which bounty? The fadl of Allah and the rahmat of Allah. Now what is the fadl of Allah and what is the rahmat of Allah? What is the fadl of Allah and what is the rahmat of Allah? The gist of the commentaries in regard to Fadlullah and Rahmatullah in this verse is to read the Quran, to understand the Quran, and to follow the Quran. That is Fadlullah and Rahmatullah. One who is granted the tawfiq to read the Quran, one who is granted the tawfiq to understand the Quran, and one who is granted the tawfiq to practice the Quran, then he is a person who has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his fadla and his rahmah. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, Al-Qur'anu ahabbu ilallahi minas samawati wal ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. So Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. So on one side, the heavens and the earth. And on the other side, the Quran. Quran is more beloved. So a person may be poor, he may be a pauper, he may be hand to mouth. But because he recites the Quran and he understands the Quran and he practices the Quran, he has the wealth of the Quran with him. Wealth of the Quran. And wealth of the Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. So he has more wealth than the wealthy people that live around him. Because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wealth of the Quran is more precious than the material wealth. So as it is, this wealth is more precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than material wealth. And on top of that, this wealth that he possesses will not go with him only up to the qabr. This wealth that he possesses will not go only up to the grave, it will go with him in the grave. And it will remain beside him when he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. And it will remain with him at the time of reckoning, it will remain with him on the Pul Sirat, and it will remain with him in Jannah forever and ever. This wealth will never separate from him, and he will never separate from this wealth. As far as the material wealth is concerned, there is no guarantee. There is no guarantee. Upon death, a person will definitely separate from the material wealth. يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فَيَرْجَوْ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانٌ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Three things follow a dead person. Three things follow a deceased. Two things return, one thing remains with him. يَرْجِوْ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ عَمَلُهُ. His family, friends and his wealth returns. And his amal remains with him. And what is amal? Amal is the Quran. Amal is the Quran. The fountain of ilm is the Quran. The fountain of ilm is the Quran, and ahadith is the commentary of the Quran. So the fountain of ilm is the Quran, and amal is based on ilm. So when a person acquires the ilm of the Quran and the ilm of the commentary of the Quran, the ahadith, and it is from the Quran and the ahadith fiqh is derived. So the person who acquires the ilm of the Quran, the ilm of the ahadith, the ilm of the fiqh, and thereafter he practices, so amal will come into existence if he has ilm first. Ilm comes before amal. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in his Kitab al-Ilm says, Babun al-ilm qabla al-amal. He says that ilm comes before amal. A person cannot carry out an amal without ilm. Ilm comes first and then amal. A person cannot accept iman without ilm. First ilm will come. He will recognize and he will acquire the knowledge that Allah exists and Allah is only one. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is his true messenger. Quran is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only after this knowledge that he will be able to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So, iman is also amal, amal of the heart, belief. So the amal of iman cannot come into existence without ilm. And after iman, amal-e-saliha, good deeds. And good deeds means to carry out the do's and to abstain from the don'ts. So amal-e-saliha cannot come into existence without knowledge. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those people who accept iman, who carry out good deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, for them are gardens of paradise under which rivers will flow. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ, that is the great success. So, the key to Jannah is Iman and Amal Saleh. And the key to Iman and Amal Saleh is Ilm. So Ilm will remain with a person in the grave. Ilm will remain with a person on the day of Qiyamah. Ilm will remain on the Pul Sirat with a person. And Ilm will remain with a person in Jannah forever and ever. All the other sciences, the secular education, secular knowledge, that is beneficial only as far as the grave. There will be no need for architects in the hereafter. There will be no need for engineers in the hereafter. There will be no need for doctors in the hereafter. And that item which is not needed loses its value. So doctors will not be required in Jannah, so they will lose their value. They are not needed. Nobody will become sick in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah that you will remain healthy forever. Not a single one of you will become sick from today. But this knowledge, the fountain of knowledge is the Quran, and Quran is the kalam of Allah. It is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been there and it will always remain. So ilm nubuwwat has always been there, it will always remain. It will remain with people in Jannah as well. So an alim will be an alim in Jannah also. A hafiz of the Quran will be hafiz of the Quran in Jannah also. So Quran will remain with a person in Qabr, it will remain with a person on the day of Qiyamah, it will remain with a person at the time of reckoning, it will remain with a person when he is crossing the Sirat, it will remain with a person in Jannah forever and ever. It is for this reason, Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, رَضِينَ قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالُ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Ali radiyallahu anhu says that we are happy with the distribution of Jabbari Ta'ala. Radina قِسْمَةَ Jabbar. Jabbar is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are happy with the distribution, the taqseem, the qismat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiyallahu anhu says, we are happy with the taqseem and the qismat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is his taqseem? Ali radiyallahu anhu says, lana ilmun, he has not given us wealth but ilm. Walil juhale malu, and he has given others wealth but not ilm. So we are very very happy with this distribution. That a group has wealth but not knowledge. And alhamdulillah we have knowledge but not wealth. Ali radiyallahu anhu says this. Radina qismat al jabbari fina. Lana ilmun, we have ilm, not wealth. Walil juhali malu, and others have wealth but not ilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the people with wealth, with material wealth, needy of the ulama. Majority of the wealthy people, they cannot say that I am independent of ulama because I have enough knowledge to guide myself. But you will find 90% of the ulama who will be able to say that I am independent of wealthy people because I have enough to support myself and the family. So why should the ulama and the people of ilm not be happy with this distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That he has given others plenty wealth, but he has made them needy of the people of ilm. And he has not given the ulama, the people of ilm, plenty wealth, but he has given them knowledge And he has not given them so little wealth that they have to go around begging from people. No, they are independent. So Ali radiallahu anhu says that we are very happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have ilm, no wealth. Not plenty wealth. We have wealth enough to support ourselves, alhamdulillah. And others have wealth but no knowledge. Not enough to guide themselves and their families. They have to resort to the ulama. And Ali radiallahu anhu says, فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. Why am I happy with this distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. Wealth will perish very soon. Either the wealth will leave me in my own life. We have all seen wealthy people becoming poor overnight. And literally overnight. Some people have gone to sleep as millionaires, and when they woke up in the morning, they had nothing. They had lost everything. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. Wealth will perish soon. وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Ilm will remain forever and ever. Ilm will remain forever and ever. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tell your ummah that upon the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upon the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the fadl and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To recite the Quran, to understand the Quran and practice the Quran. People should rejoice. If Allah has given you this tawfiq, you should rejoice. Because it is better than whatever people can accumulate. And by asking his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey this message to us, what is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we read the Quran, we understand the Quran, and we practice the Quran. And Quran is the fountain. So we understand the Quran, we understand the Ahadith, we understand fiqh, we understand the ulum of Sharia. Ulum of Sharia. We understand the Sharia, so we are able to practice. It is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we connect ourselves to the Quran and we connect ourselves to the commentary of the Quran. We connect ourselves to the result of the Quran. The commentary of the Quran is the Ahadith, and the result of the Quran is fiqh. And we practice. We practice. So we read or we listen. We read, we listen. We understand and we practice. My friends, if this is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is our responsibility? What is our responsibility? How much time do we take out to understand the glorious Quran? How much time have we dedicated in the past 10 years, 20 years, 30 years to understand the words of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much time have we dedicated to actually understand the rules, the laws, the injunctions that have been derived from the Quran and the Ahadith, the do's and the don'ts? We are all guilty of this crime, my friends. We are all guilty of this crime. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great faqih and a great muhaddith and a great Sufi, a very pious personality, He himself says that I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in my dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in my dream. A very great muhaddis. A very great faqih. And a very pious personality. He was seen during his old age going somewhere carrying an inkpot and a pen with some papers. So according to the culture of the time, when people saw him, they understood that he is in search of knowledge. He is in quest for knowledge. Because he is going with plain papers, with exercise books, according to our times, and he is going with a pen and an inkpot. In those times, they did not have pens like ours. So they had to carry with them an inkpot, and they would make a pen out of a wooden stick, and then write with that pen. So somebody asked him, "Oh, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, ila mata? Until when are you going to continue seeking ilm? You have become a great imam." I tell the students of deen that this is a modern culture. This is a modern culture. This is not the culture of the sahaba and the tabi'in and our pious predecessors. This is new culture that I have graduated. Main farigh ho gaya. I am farigh now. I have completed my course. Main graduate ho gaya. What was the culture during the time of the sahaba and during the time of the tabi'in and during the time of our pious predecessors? The culture was that once you become a student, I tell my students at the Islamic Dawa Academy, that don't let this thought come in your minds that I am in Arbi Awwal, I am in the first year, so after 6 years I will graduate. I am in the second year, so after 5 years I will graduate. I am in the fifth year, so after 2 years I will graduate. And I am in the final year, Bukhari Sharif, so after 1 year I will graduate. Farigh ho jayenge, farigh. I will become free. Farigh. I will finish. I said, no. We became farigh the day we took admission in the madrasa. We became farigh from everything to dedicate our lives to the ilm of Nubuwwah until we breathe our last. We became farigh when we took admission. We don't become farigh when we finish Bukhari Sharif. We became farigh the day we came into the madrasa. We became farigh from everything. And there is only one engagement now. Learn and teach, learn and teach, learn and teach, and simultaneously practice and encourage others to practice. Learning is learning. Why do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people who read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will Allah grant them? يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورِ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Those people who read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant them this, 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 this. Only upon reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commentators of the Quran, the likes of Hakimul Ummah, Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people who read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant them this. That means those who read the book and practice the book. Because a person will only read the book to practice. So it is automatically understood. You don't have to mention that those who read the book and practice. Why would a person read a book? Only for thawab? No. A person reads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to practice. So when we take admission in a madrasa, we are farigh from everything. We have finished everything. Now our only occupation will be learn and teach, learn and teach, learn and teach. Learn, learn, take from our elders, learn, take from our seniors, and pass on to our juniors. Take from our seniors, pass on to our juniors. And we don't graduate. This continues. So
In the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, a person may remain a student only for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever the norm in those days. And once he was given the certificate by his sheikh that now you are a student, but at the same time you are also a teacher, you have the authority to teach people also. Then that didn't mean that I am finished now. No, now he would teach and learn, teach and learn. The process of learning would never end. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala visited 1080 muhaddithin in his life. 1080 muhaddithin. In order to acquire the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he did not confine himself to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara only. No. If it came to his knowledge that in this particular town, in this particular city, in this particular village, there is a muhaddith who is conveying the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he would immediately travel. And regarding some cities, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says that I went so many times that I myself cannot remember the number of times I visited that city. And it wasn't from Leicester to Gloucester or Gloucester to Leicester. Basra, Kufa. Basra, Kufa. So he is coming to Madina Munawwara, he is coming to Makkah Mukarrama, going to Basra again, going to Kufa again. So he says that I cannot remember how many times I went to Basra and Kufa. 1080 muhaddithin, 1080 teachers he visited, and he acquired hadith from 1080 teachers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them thirst for ilm, thirst and hunger. And they were not able to satiate themselves. They were not able to extinguish this thirst until they breathed the last. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi is Imam of his time. Imam of his time. And he is seen going somewhere with some exercise books, pen, ink pot. So somebody said, Elamata, until when, O Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? So he said, he picked up his ink pot and he said, Ma'al mihbarati ilal makbarati. Ma'al mihbarati ilal makbarati. I will spend my life with this ink pot until I reach my qabra and grave. I will remain a student until I reach my grave. Imam Tirmizi rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala. These are great personalities, luminaries of the ummah. They acquired ilm and they continued to acquire ilm until their last moments. They continued acquiring ilm until their last moments. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Until the last moments. And they did not only acquire ilm. They acquired ilm, they practiced ilm, and they made sure that this ilm reaches as many people as possible. Not one person or two people or three people and say, no, as many people as possible. And they did not feel shy or embarrassed that, oh, I am older in age or my status is higher. My status is higher. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala was 15 years younger than Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He was 15 years younger than Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was born in 194 Hijri. And according to the authentic opinion, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala was born in 209 Hijri. So there was a difference of 15 years. Imam Tirmidhi is younger than Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala is the student of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And during that time, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was the sovereign of the world of hadith. Amirul Mu'minin fil hadith. There was nobody like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, ma akhrajat Khurasan misla Muhammad ibn Ismail. Misla Muhammad ibn Ismail. That Khurasan did not give birth to anybody like Imam Bukhari. And another great muhaddis, Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaima, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say, that ma tahta adimi samai, a'lamu bil hadith min Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. That under the shade of this, the sky, the heaven, there is no one who has more knowledge in the science of hadith than Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he was the sovereign of the world of the science of hadith. And Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah ta'ala is his student. He benefited greatly from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And he was 15 years younger. But we find in Tirmizi Sharif on two places in Tirmizi Sharif. Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah ta'ala narrates a hadith. And he says that my teacher Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, because these ahadith did not reach him, he has taken this ahadith from me. He is my student in these two ahadith. Imam Bukhari did not feel that Imam Muslim is my student. He is 15 years young. Imam Tirmizi is my student. He is 15 years younger than me. And it's only a matter of two ahadith. If I don't take these two ahadith, what difference is it going to make? No. I have not come across these ahadith before. I have not heard these hadith from any other teacher. And if Tirmizi, my student, is narrating, I should take it from him. They were not embarrassed. They were not shy. A person who is shy and who feels embarrassed as a result of his pride, shy as a result of his weakness, and embarrassed as a result of his pride. If a person has these two weaknesses, he will not be able to acquire ilm. Imam Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, la yanalul ilma mustahiyin wala mustakbirun. The one who is shy and the one who is proud will not be able to progress in ilm. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was once asked, how did you become a luminary? How did you become a great alim of your time? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, very simple, I did two things. I was never stingy in giving ilm to somebody. So if I knew something that the other person did not know, I would pass it on to him. I was never stingy. I was never miser. That is one quality I had. And the other quality is, I was never shy or proud of taking ilm from somebody who had ilm which I did not have. We can literally say they were greedy for ilm. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, man human la yashba'an. There are two categories of greedy people that never feel satisfied. Man humun fil ilm, man humun fil dunya. One the greedy for wealth and the other greedy for ilm. So my friends, I urge myself first, because I am also a victim of this crime. Myself first, and then I urge all my brothers and sisters, let us make a firm resolution that from today we will become talibul ilm. We will acquire ilm today. We will increase our ilm. If we look back at the last week, we should feel that this week I have acquired this ilm. This is something new which I didn't know before. If you look at our last month, if you look at our last year, we should feel that yes, I have progressed in ilm. And with ilm, amal also. And whatever we are able to, we will convey also. Umar radiyallahu anhu and Ithman ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, two great companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived in Awali, Al-Awali. Al-Awali is 2-3 kilometers away from Masjid Nabawi. And 2-3 kilometers in those days was very long. And both of them had farms and orchards. So they had work to do. But they were so greedy for ilm that they were taking shifts. So one day Umar radiallahu anhu would remain behind and he would look after the affairs of the orchards and the farms of himself and Ithman ibn Malik, while Ithman ibn Malik would go and perform Fajr Salat in Masjid Nabawi. And he would remain in Medina Munawwara until Isha. Not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was continually teaching daily from Fajr till Isha. No. But you never knew when he would say something. You never knew. Maybe after Fajr he would just walk away and go into his home. Maybe after Fajr he would say something. Maybe around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock he would come out of his home and he is going somewhere and the other Sahaba are accompanying and he may say something, he may do something. So Ithman ibn Malik would accompany him. And he would return after Isha. Umar radiallahu anhu would meet him. They would sit down. And Ithman ibn Malik would convey to him whatever he had observed and whatever he had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the following day, Umar radiallahu anhu would spend his whole day in Medina Munawwara and Ithman ibn Malik would look after the farms and the orchards. And despite this, Umar radiallahu anhu had a lot of knowledge, alhamdulillah. Abu Bakr also, but despite this, one day Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu, he came and he knocked at the door of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, and Umar radiyallahu anhu was very busy, occupied in something, so he did not answer. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu knocked a second time, he did not answer, he knocked a third time, he did not answer. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu walked away. And as he was walking away, Umar radiyallahu anhu realized that somebody is knocking and somebody is asking for permission to come into the house. The sunnah method in India, in the villages even today, the doors are not closed, the doors remain open. That was the culture during the time of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what you do is, you don't enter the house like we do. This is an Islamic. In many cases it is not permissible. Because your gaze may fall on something that your gaze should not be falling on. You may cause inconvenience to the inhabitants of the home. So the method is, you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, can I enter? If you don't get a reply, after a while you say again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, can I enter? And then a third time you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, can I enter? And if you don't get a reply, then you return. And in this country, you knock once, knock or ring the bell, moderately. If you don't get a reply, a second time. If you don't get a reply, a third time. And if you don't get a reply, then you walk away. You don't peep through the letterbox. You don't gaze through the window. Innama ju'ila al-izhnu li-ajli al-basar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one of the prime reason for this injunction of the Sharia that you should take permission before entering the house is so that your gaze does not fall on something that it should not fall on. Now if you peep through the letterbox, if you peep through the window, then it may fall on something that it should not fall on. And the owner of the house is not under any obligation whatsoever that if you knock, he has to open the door. Even if the light is on, he may be sitting with his family, he may be sitting on his own, he may be busy, not busy. You don't start knocking on the window. You don't start pressing the bell for a very long time. This is all against the teachings of our beautiful deen. So Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he left. Abu Musa was his kunya. His name was Abdullah ibn Qais. So Umar radiallahu anhu, after a while he realized that it was Abu Musa. And he was asking for permission to enter, but because he was heavily engaged, he could not pay attention. So he said, that did I not hear Abdullah ibn Qais asking for permission to enter? So the other people around Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, it was Abdullah ibn Qais, it was Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu. So he said, call him, call Abu Musa. So Abu Musa radiallahu anhu was called. Why did you leave? Why did you go away? So he said, this is the teachings of our, these are the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Umar radiallahu anhu had not come across this particular etiquette before. This is the first time he heard from Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu that this is the etiquette of entering someone's home. And in the initial stages, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu, Umar radiallahu anhu, in order to safeguard the ahadith, in order to safeguard the authenticity of the ahadith, and in order to safeguard the treasure of ahadith from fabrication, if he came across something that was not heard, very frequently he would say that, bring evidence that you have heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring evidence. Did he not trust Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu? He did. He knew that Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu was very pious. So why was he doing this? He was doing this so that those people, munafiqeen, those who may have had the desire to fabricate a hadith and just put it in the treasure of hadith, they would think twice that if Umar is questioning Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, then what about me? So he said, go, bring evidence, witness. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went into a state of shock, that what if I am unable to bring the witness? So he went into the gathering of the Ansar and he said, that has any of you heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Ansar said, yes, majority of us heard this, and evidence will be the youngest from amongst us. As Garuna, the youngest, take Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Take him. And take him to Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu went to Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said, yes. Yes, I have also witnessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam teaching this etiquette. Umar was the Khalifa. He was a Mufassir. He was a Faqih. He was from the Fuqaha'i Sahaba. A very great scholar. And only one thing he did not know. If it was you and me, we would have said, okay, fine. Fact established. But what did he say? Alhani as-safaku bil aswaq. Alhani as-safaku bil aswaq. Remorseful, Umar. Oh, I didn't know this. I was unaware of this part of ilm. He said that trading in the markets kept me neglectful of this ilm. What he was meaning was that all the time I was not with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to acquire rizq, I used to go in the marketplaces to trade as well. So he said that trading in the marketplaces has kept me negligent from this ilm. He became remorseful, regretful for not knowing this. And what is our culture? Our culture, our trend, our norm is that ilm is confined to the maktab period only. At the age of 12, at the age of 11, at the age of 13, we leave maktab. We make our children leave maktab. And that is the end of ilm. And every Muslim thinks that, alhamdulillah, I have ilm. I have knowledge. I have knowledge. And many people are seen discussing very, very delicate Shari issues where the ulama differ. When ulama differ regarding an issue, then that must be a very, very delicate issue. So we should remain silent. If it was straight and clear, why would the ulama differ? But the ulama have differed. The ulama of UK have differed in this particular issue. That means it is something very delicate. It is something we should not delve into. But no, we take part in those issues. And we discuss amongst ourselves. Amongst non-ulama. All non-ulama. All non-ulama discussing. And they are issuing their own fatwas. And where will that land us, my friends? That will land us in the fire of Jahannam. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will question us. In Abu Dawud Sharif, there is a hadith that man qala fil Qur'an bi ra'yihi, a person who is not a scholar, who is not a mufassir of the Qur'an, who does not have the ability to interpret the Qur'an, and he reads a verse of the Qur'an and he gives an interpretation. He does not give interpretation based on anything. He gives interpretation as a result of his own intellect, and he is bright, he is clever. And he gives the interpretation, it so happens that coincidentally, that interpretation is correct. It is the correct interpretation. The Mufassirin have written what he is saying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, that man qala fil Qur'an birayihi fa asaba. One who gives interpretation regarding a verse from the Qur'an with his own opinion, without being a Mufassir, without having the authority to do that, and he is correct, despite being correct, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَدْ أَخْطَى, he has made an error. And what was that error? That error was that he should not have done what he has done because he does not have the authority to do that. Coincidentally, he was correct. He may have misinterpreted the verse. This time he has interpreted correctly, maybe next time he may misinterpret. So my friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will all increase our ilm. This is the greatest problem of the ummah. Greatest problem of the ummah. That the ummah itself is not familiar with its own deen. The ummah is not familiar with its own religion. The ummah is not familiar with what Allah says, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. The ummah is not familiar with the beautiful teachings of their great Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason we shy out. We cannot talk to non-Muslims. We cannot engage with non-Muslims. Because we don't know. We don't know what to say. We know deep in our hearts. We know deep in our hearts that this is right and this is wrong. But we cannot establish right as right and wrong as wrong to the people who don't know, because we don't have the knowledge. So my friends, take part in the durus that take place in the masajid. Sit in the lectures of the ulama and the muftis. And every masjid should attempt to hold a weekly program on the dars of the Quran and dars of the hadith. If both, alhamdulillah. If not both, then at least begin with one dars of the Quran. Dars of the Quran. The least that every masjid should do is to do ta'aleem once a week of Ma'ariful Quran of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi. That is the least each masjid should do. As a result, we will connect ourselves to the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will recognize our Creator. We will appreciate the beauty that lies in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, my friends, thereafter, what do we need to do? We need to connect to our local ulama and seek guidance from them that I am a reader in Gujarati, I am a reader in English, I am a reader in Urdu. Can you please guide me? Guide me. I have 1 hour every week. I have 1 hour every day. I have 2 hours every weekend. Guide me. Tell me, where should I begin? And according to the guidance, read one book, read a second book, read a third book, read a fourth book. Where you do not understand something, refer to that alim. Who you feel you are compatible with. And you will see that slowly, slowly your knowledge will increase. And I have mentioned this before in this masjid also. Maulana Google and Mufti Google is very dangerous. Because Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala says that in hadha al-ilm ad-deenun fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. It is very, very important to know where you take your deen from. Without authenticity, if you say to me that you are suffering from this particular illness which no one in Leicester has been able to diagnose or cure, there is a very good doctor here in Gloucester. And anybody who goes to him, it is immediately diagnosed and his medicine has worked for everybody. The only problem is that he is not a graduate of any university. What will my response be? And what will be the response of everybody? No, bhai. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah. I am not keen to go into the grave very quickly. That will be our response. Without authenticity. How can you just go onto the Google and type Saum, type Salat, type whatever you want to, and whatever article comes in front of you, you take it. Without knowing the author, you need to contact the local ulama and ask them that author. And if an article does not have an author, that is not authentic. Because it does not have the chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sisters, brothers, all alike, ulama, non-ulama, we all need to continue increasing our ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to increase our ilm. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to practice that ilm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to pass that ilm on to as many people as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah to all the children who have taken part in today's program. May Allah grant immense barakah to the ulama who are teaching here and to the ulama living throughout Gloucestershire and all the ulama who are present here today. Grant ilm in their barakah, in their ilm, barakah in their amal, barakah in their age, barakah in their abilities, capabilities, and barakah in their courage, and barakah in their unity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the people of Gloucestershire to benefit from these ulama. Wa akhiru da'wana. May Allah grant barakah to the student who is completing his hifz of the Quran today. May Allah keep this Quran to memory until he breathes his last. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him alimi rabbani also.
Amen.
Who will benefit the whole world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم. لئلا يعلم أهل الكتاب ألا يقدرون على شيء من فضل الله وأن الفضل بيد الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم. اللهم آنس وحشتي في قبري اللهم ارحمني بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لي إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرني منه ما نسيت وعلمني منه ما جهلت وارزقني تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لي حجة يا رب العالمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى، اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك، اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين، اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء، وبرد العيش بعد الموت، ولذة النظر إلى وجهك، والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائلنا إلى جنات النعيم. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا. يا أرحم الراحمين رحمك كرمك يسر سهولتك عفو عافيتك معاملة فرما فضل عنايتك حفظ أمانك معاملة فرما. ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی جمنے کی چلانے کی جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین مرنے سے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے اللہ اس نے خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما، اس نے خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما. برے خاتمے سے ہم آپ کی پناہ مانگتے ہیں، برے خاتمے سے پناہ عطا فرما، آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما، الہ العالمین بغیر جہنم میں جائے جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں
اہل قرآن میں شامل فرما دیے، اہل قرآن میں شامل فرما دیے، اہل قرآن میں شامل فرما دیے، الہ العالمین ہمیں صاحب قرآن بنا دے، ہمیں حامل قرآن بنا دے، الہ العالمین قرآن کو پڑھنے والا بنا دے، تجوید کے ساتھ پڑھنے والا بنا دے، اہتمام سے پڑھنے والا بنا دے، الہ العالمین ہمیں قرآن کی محبت عطا فرما، الہ العالمین قرآن کی لذت عطا فرما، رب العالمین قرآن کو پڑھ کر اسے سمجھنے والا بنا دے، سمجھ کر اس پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے، الہ العالمین اس کے ساتھ ساتھ دوسروں تک پہنچانے والا بنا دے، دوسروں کو قرآن کی طرف بلانے والا بنا دے، یہ رب العالمین علم نبوت سے سرفراز فرما، ہمارے قلوب کو علم نبوت سے منور فرما، یہ رب العالمین آج جس طالب علم نے قرآن مجید کی حفظ کی تکمیل کی ہے اسے بے انتہا قبول کر، بے انتہا قبول کر، بے انتہا قبول کر، اسے اس کے اساتذہ کے لیے اور ماں باپ کے لیے، خاندان کے لیے، ہم سب کے لیے آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ صدقہ جاریہ بنا، العالمین اسے عالم با عمل بنا، العالمین مرتے دم تک قرآن کی حفاظت کی توفیق عطا کر، مرتے دم تک قرآنی علوم کو پورے عالم میں پھیلانے والا بنا، امت کی قیادت کو سنبھالنے والا بنا، العالمین اسے ہم سب کی آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا، العالمین یہاں کی مدرسے کو، یہاں کے اساتذہ کو، یہاں کے ائمہ کو خوب خیر و برکت سے مارا مارا کرتا، یہاں جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں سب کو قبول کرتا، تعلیم اور تزکیہ کی لائن سے خوب برکتیں پیدا کرتا، پورے ڈاکٹر میں جتنے علماء ہیں، جتنے مفتیان کرام ہیں، جتنے اساتذہ ہیں، جتنی معلمات ہیں، جتنے دین کے کام جس جس لائن سے ہو رہے ہیں سب کو قبول کر، سب کو آپس میں ایک دوسرے کے ساتھ محبت عطا فرمائیں، الہ العالمین اہل حق کے پوری دنیا میں جتنے کام ہیں سب کی حفاظت کر، سب کاموں کو انتشار سے بچا دے، راہ سے بچا دے، سب کو حق پر مشتبہ فرما دے، الہ العالمین علم کی دولت سے ہم سب کو مالا مال کر، دین کا ذوق نصیب کر، یہ رب الرحیمین علم کے ساتھ امن بھی عطا فرما، یہ رب الرحیمین پوری امت کی حفاظت فرما، یہ رب العالمین ہم سے جو بھی بیمار ہیں انہیں شفا کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ دائمہ نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین جو پریشان حال ہے ان کی پریشانیاں کو دور فرما، مصیبت زدہ ہے عافیت عطا فرما، ہمارے متعلقین میں جو بیمار ہیں شفا عطا فرما، مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، الہ العالمین ہمارے بزرگوں، ہمارے اساتذہ، ہمارے مشائخ، ہمارے ماں باپ میں سے جو زندہ ہے ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا کر، ان کے ٹھنڈے میٹھے سائے کو تاجر قائم کر، الہ العالمین ہمیں ان کی توجہ اور ان کی دعاؤں کا برکت بنا، دنیا سے جا چکے ہیں انہیں اپنی جوان رحمت پہ جگہ آتا، العالمین آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے جن بھلائیوں کی دعا مانگی تھی وہ ساری بھلائیاں عطا فرما، جن برائیوں سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان ساری برائیوں سے پناہ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ہمیں تعلیم کا ذوق بھی نصیب فرما، تزکیہ کا ذوق بھی نصیب فرما، ہمارے ظاہری باطن کی اصلاح فرما، اپنی محبت عطا فرما، اپنی محبت عطا فرما، تعلق نصیب فرما، اپنی مرضیات پہ چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، گناہوں سے بچا کر، گناہوں پہ بچا کر، گناہوں سے بچا کر، جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرمانا، مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مان سکے وہ بھی عطا فرمانا، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، واخر دعوانا الحمد لله.